chapter 6, if you would, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. As the curtain opens on Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, we are confronted again with the motives of our rewards for service. We are confronted with the motives for why we serve, why we do what we do. To the Jews, there are three great pillars of a good life. It was almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And if you did those three under Jewish law, then you were considered not just a good person, but a highly spiritual person. Now, we don't live under that kind of aura today, but it is interesting that even in our churches, there's sometimes kind of an underwritten rule that if you do this and you do that and you teach here, then you're obviously a really super spiritual person. And so some of the applications are going to be just as pointed. Jesus directs his focus on those who are giving and these matters of spiritual basis and whether or not they were doing so with the right heart. What is the reason behind your spiritual work? Is it to glorify God, or is it to have the praise of men? Matthew chapter 6, stand if you would please, and we're going to read several verses as our introduction, and we'll just kind of tip into the chapter tonight, and then we'll get something to eat. I feel like we just need to go... I see a lot of you that need to do that. It's been a busy day. Been a busy morning. We've had the bus workers out early. There have been a lot of people moving parts this morning in the kids' classes and the children's kids' church and bus church, and then afterward and nursing home ministry and choir. And so if you just came to church and went home and took a nap, you don't need to sigh. All right, that's for the rest of us. But stay with us, and afterward, there's a nice meal prepared. I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. That's some of the biggest baked potatoes I've ever seen. I mean, them things are that long, and there's cheese and butter and bacon and sour cream and barbecue. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up, yeah. So whatever I can tell, I'll just keep adding a chicken and roast beef, whatever. But those are back there, they're prepared, and hopefully you'll be a part of that. Matthew chapter 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now that verse alone is a sermon in and of itself. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And then in verse number 6, all the way down through verse number 15, he speaks to us about praying. We won't read those verses. They're probably familiar to you. But these are sometimes what we call the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer. And these will build one upon another, all right? Verses 1 through 5, he speaks about this giving. Verses 6 through 15, he speaks about praying. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 16, moreover, when ye fast. Here's an entire religion that they built on if you give, if you pray, and if you fast. Now, those three are important. But do you realize that's not what makes a person spiritual? Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look into the Scripture, that you would teach us. Lord, that you would exhort us. I pray that you would help those that are weary. May we be alerted tonight. Bless the time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We are in Roman numeral number 4. If you are following along in the outline, Roman numeral number 4 now, we shift gears and we're speaking about the motive of our deeds. What is the motive of what you do? The Sermon on the Mount exposes the condition of the heart. And as we'll see in a moment, that even when you do good things, if they are done for the wrong purpose, and if they're done for the wrong motive, then they lose their value. So, preacher, I mean, that was for a good cause, and that was something that really benefited others. Well, that's fine. But if it's done from a wrong heart, it loses its value. And in the eyes of Christ, it is of no avail. And if people aren't careful, they can be generous, or they can pray, or they can fast, and they can do it for the wrong reasons, and thus they lose their blessing that's connected with those specific activities. Spiritual growth and victory require discernment and caution. You know what I found? As you grow spiritually, Satan likes to push you off your mountaintop. Man, you've taken a step of growth and you've finished discipleship and you've now been soul winning, or you're teaching a Sunday school class. Be careful, because the devil likes to come along and likes to try to push you off of that. And Jesus cuts to the heart here as he encourages these people who have now been growing, they've now been listening, they've now been spending a little bit of time with the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, and he now points the finger to the fact that what you render spiritually must be for the right reason. It's easy, if you're not careful, to start doing acts of that which is good before men so that they will see it and they will praise you. In other words, if I could jump right into the message, sometimes if we're not careful, we want people to see what we do that's good, whether it's soul winning, whether it's giving, whether it's fasting, whether it's praying, so that we'll be praised by them to say, boy, you know what? That sure is a spiritual man. But Jesus said, now that, wait a minute, that's not right. That's not good. In fact, it even causes a person to lose that reward. And so be careful, because you can become cocky or proud or arrogant and lose those blessings. So let me give you part of the outline tonight. Letter A are the duties of life. And he begins to list these, and I've said this now several times, that here are these three particular sections that are found. And notice the first two words of verse number 1, take heed. Jesus begins with no fooling around. I mean, this is a command. This is not a request. This is not a suggestion. This is not, well, maybe if you're feeling like you went to church 3 times and you want to really take it. No, no, no. This is a command. Pay attention. Beware. Because there's some things in your Christian life that you're going to have to guard against to make sure you don't have the wrong motive. And that is, first of all, number one, when it comes to heralding your good works, when it comes to letting others see your good works, when it comes to letting people know just what you've done spiritually, be careful. Do not drop your guard concerning the giving of alms. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Well, what is almsgiving? That's not a word that we use. It's not a terminology that we would use. And specifically in the context, it has to do with giving money, food, or other to help somebody less fortunate. Giving to someone who is poor. It is having compassion on those that are around you. And to a Jew, I mean, this seems to be one of the highest sacred religious duties. I mean, look at this man. He gave some money to that person there on the side of the street that didn't have any money. I tell you what, he sure must be spiritual. The problem was that in Jesus' day, they thought it would bring them favor with God. In fact, akin to the fact that they even thought it would win atonement or bring forgiveness of sin. Nothing could be further from the truth. In case we miss it, and in case I forget to say it, do you realize that giving all of your clothes to Goodwill and the Salvation Army and giving money to some charitable organization will not buy you into heaven? Not even close. And that's what they began to teach. That's what they began to believe. Now, understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is specific. When he's speaking about giving of alms, this is not an offering for the church. This is not, we had a missionary come through and I watched their presentation and the Lord squeezed my heart and I gave to them. That's not what he's talking about. This is not your tithes and your offerings. That's not what he's talking about. Almsgiving is true charity. But yet that charity must be done with compassion as well as discernment. Did you know that when you give to someone because you care, you shouldn't destroy their character? It shouldn't turn into them being lazy because you give to them. Now wait a minute. Healthy people who can work, ought work. And you take somebody that's healthy enough to have a job, if they go a couple days without a meal, they'll get motivated to get a job. Is everybody okay with that? I'll wake you up one way or the other. And the Lord is concerned about the motives of why we do what we do. Notice that he says that there's a penalty if you give just to be seen. If I'm giving just solely to be seen of them, that's what the scripture says. It's verbatim. You have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Wow. Just because I want people to see what to give for the praise of men is to denounce. And you do realize that there is a lot of this kind of giving today. How sad it is to go through life not being yourself, but always on a quest to make an impression on people. And by the way, they probably don't care. Trying to impress people that do not really care, and they easily forget what you do. We're not to try to impress people with our spirituality. We're, if I can use this term, to impress the Lord. Someone said, the older I get, the less I care what man thinks, and the more I care what God thinks. Because I'm going to spend a lot more time with God than I am with you. That's all right. I like that. Some folks will not give unless they are recognized. I mean, they're not going to give unless they've got a nameplate on the side of the building or you put some sort of recognition in the bulletin. They don't want to give because they have to have that recognition. And that's what Jesus is denouncing. He's not dealing with whether you do give and how much you give, but he's dealing with the heart and the motive and that kind of giving that is selfish. There's a balance here. There's a balance with what he's teaching and giving honor to whom honor is due. And you have to make sure that you put your mind around all of the there's nothing wrong with public praise to whom honor is due. That's biblical. That's not the context. The context is when your attitude becomes, look at me, look out. Because Jesus said you lose that reward. What's the penalty? It's a loss of heavenly reward. You know, it's not just that. It's also a loss of character and virtue because many times you have to lower yourself to the standards of men. I read about two brothers who terrorized a small town for decades. I mean, they were criminals, they were unfaithful to their wives, they were abusive to their children, they were dishonest in their business, and at last, after years, the younger brother died. Well, the older brother came to the pastor, and he asked the pastor if he would do the funeral for the younger brother, and he said, "Preacher, I only have one request. In the funeral, I want you to say that my brother was a saint." He looked at him and he said, "Sir, you know as well as I do that I can't do that. Your brother didn't live that kind of a lifestyle." He said, "I just can't do that." And the older brother reached into his pocket and he said, "Preacher, I'm prepared to write a check right now for $100,000 if you'll just say that my brother was a saint." Boy, money got in the place of motivation for the wrong matter. Well, the preacher thought about it for a day or so, and the day came in the funeral, and he stood up and he said, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that you've gathered here today. Everyone here knows that here lies this man who was wicked. He was a womanizer. He was a drunk. He cheated. He lied. He stole. But as bad as he is," his older brother sitting right there on the front row, "as bad as he was, compared to his brother, he was a saint." Write the check. Now, wait a minute. Be careful, because seeking the approval of men can lead to traps. It can put you in a position. Why do we give? Is it with the right motive? Is it with the right heart? And Jesus is dealing with that. If you simply want to glorify yourself, be careful. Look out. Look out, because it'll catch you. A lady by the name of Alice Grayson, who has moved to an area. She had joined a Baptist church, and she was asked to bake a cake for the Baptist ladies group, their group that was getting together, and she had forgot about it till the last minute, and she's scrounging around at her house, and she found a cake mix in the back of her cupboard there that was covered in dust, and she pulled it out, and she made the cake real quick, threw it in the oven, went back the hall to finish drying her hair and getting ready. When she came out, she pulled the cake out of the oven, and to her dismay, the entire center of the cake just fell. Well, her heart just sunk. She thought, I've got to do something. I don't want to make it look like I'm not social, and I don't want those ladies to think after they've asked me to do it that I'm unfriendly and I'm not going to participate and I don't fit in. And so she's running around the house thinking, how am I going to raise this cake? It was a center pedestal cake, and she found her answer in the bathroom. A roll of toilet paper. She took the roll of toilet paper, she stuck it in the middle of that cake, and she iced it completely. And man, it looked great. I mean, it stood up perfectly. The icing covered it all. And it was to go to this little bake sale that the ladies were having, but she had to go to work. And so she gave it to her daughter, and she said, I want you to go by the church, and I want you to drop this cake off. Just slip in the back, put it on the table so nobody knows who brought it. And she said, make sure that after school you go straight to the church, and you bid on that cake and buy it. I don't care what it cost. Well, her daughter forgot to go. And by the time the mother had gotten off of work and the daughter had finally remembered, when the young lady slipped into the back door, that cake was already purchased. She called her mom, and she was frantic, and she said, Mom, you're not going to believe this, but the cake is already gone. Well, that night she sat up and she stewed over, and she thought, what am I going to do now? How am I going to call this person and say, don't eat the cake, there's toilet paper in the middle. The next day, she went to a fancy bridal shower. There were some ladies in the church that were having this bridal shower, and I mean, everything was just perfect, and they had a meal that was great. And to her horror, at the end of the meal, they wheeled out her cake as the dessert. Her heart sunk. She began to slide down in her chair and thought, I have somehow got to get to the hostess and tell her, whatever you do, don't cut that cake. But she didn't get along with this lady in the neighborhood, and she knew that it would be problematic. And several people began to comment on the cake, and the mayor's wife was there, and she said, what a beautiful cake. Well, before she could pipe up and tell anybody about it, the lady who she didn't care that much about, the hostess, stood up and she said, well, thank you. I baked it myself. Alice Grayson just slipped out the back door and said, there's a God in heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, you better beware, because if you try to glorify yourself when it comes to giving, God said there's a penalty with that. And it will catch up with you, and you may well lose your reward when it comes to living for God and serving for God. Now, let me just pause for a moment and let me say, that doesn't mean that all giving has to be anonymous. In Acts chapter 4, you read about the church giving to Barnabas. And if I read the text right, all of the people knew of the gift. It doesn't mean that all giving has to be that way. The difference is the heart. And when I give so that people see me, I rob myself of the blessing and I rob God of His glory. So there's a penalty, letter A, letter B. Then he speaks about the practice. All right, then what am I supposed to do? Verse number two. Therefore. So Jesus said, let me tell you what you're supposed to do. When thou doest thine alms, don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He speaks about here this group of people who are touting what they give so that everybody sees them. And Jesus is condemning the practice of drawing the attention to themselves. He's not condemning giving. He's not condemning being charitable. No. He's condemning making sure that everybody knows I'm the one that did it. And there's a caution here. These Pharisees, they like to call attention to themselves. Man, they want everybody to know that they were the ones who met the need. And God said, I would rather you learn that your true satisfaction come from knowing that God sees, not that man sees. Now, verse number 2 is instructive. And the essence that Jesus gives in all of the verses, look, guys, don't do it like they did. I'll tell you what you do. Don't do it like they did. Don't do it like those guys. Because the Bible says that they sounded the trumpets in the synagogues and in the streets as they were giving to the poor. Now, there's a couple words that help us understand that. The word trumpets and the word hypocrite or hypocrites help us get our mind around the picture that he's painting. Evidence of history and of the scripture points to the fact that these men, when they took a collection, they blew a trumpet so that everybody would know. In other words, it'd be akin to saying that we're going to take up an offering, and when an offering reached a certain point, then we would right here before everybody, we'd say, well, now, ladies and gentlemen, there's $400 here in this collection plate, but I want you to know that 395 of that came from so-and-so. Sound the trumpet, let so-and-so stand, and we all applaud him. Well, that'd be silly. That'd be silly. But notice, Jesus said it's not so much in the synagogues, but they do it in the streets. It seems highly likely that they would walk the streets with the trumpeter proclaiming that they had been fasting, and the poor would hear those trumpets and they would run alongside them and they would give. Now stay with me. I lost some of you somewhere in the synagogue there. In India today, in the Hindu religion, it is the practice weekly that they step outside the temple and they blow a trumpet and people from the community gather around and they choose to bless someone. It's pretty close to what the Lord's describing. Now, the truth is, that's so far-fetched that we can't even relate to that. But wait a minute. Hold on. Telling everybody about what you do isn't real far-fetched. Because when you post it on Facebook and on Twitter so that everybody knows, it's just as bad. Boy, that slipped up and got you, didn't it? It's the same. And Jesus said, don't be like these hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? He's an actor. He's a pretender. He's acting like he cares about the poor, but you know what? He doesn't really care about them. He just cares about you noticing that. He just cares about the fact that you notice that he did something so that he gets that reward. Jesus said, they have their reward. What is their reward? The praise of men. You know how long the praise of men lasts? About as fast as you can see them. That's all the longer it lasts. Ladies and gentlemen, it is possible to be the most generous Christian around and to only get the immediate praise that you receive right there. If your heart and your motives are not right. So number one, he deals with heralding good works. Quickly, number two, he deals with hiding good works. Look at verse number 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, I just got to tell you, I kind of toyed with this in my mind, and I thought, what does he mean? Does the Lord literally mean that as you're taking out the tithe check that you're going to put in the offering plate, that as it comes out of your pocket, that your left hand is not to know what your right hand does, and so you've got to hide it from... it's a kind of an extreme illustration. I mean, you got to make sure that your right hand doesn't stay away. It's a little bit of an extreme illustration, but yet it has so much emphasis on the fact that my giving is not to be done for men, but it's to be done for God. And so he speaks, first of all, of that which is private. I mean, the idea is I'm not to tell others about my giving, and I'm not to make a big deal about it. Some people want to tell everybody everything that they've done for someone. And you know, the best way to avoid boasting praise is to let no one else know when you give. And by the way, that'll test your motives in a hurry. Because you'll find out if you don't get praised or rewarded what you feel like about that. You'll find out if it sits well with you. But it's a blessing when people give and people are helped and no one knows about it. But God does. Now again, I must pause here and I must say, not all giving happens that way. There are some places where our works must be public. In fact, according to the Scripture, true righteousness can't be hidden. It can't be covered up entirely. You can't help but it be seen because you love people and you care about people. And if your heart is right, the Father which seeth in secret, He'll reward thee openly. But the order is the motive. The order is it all about, wow, look what I did. Spurgeon and his wife were criticized while they were on this earth for decades because they were so-called greedy. Most people don't know this story, but Charles Spurgeon and his wife raised chickens, but they would not give away the eggs, even to their family. And they would say to them, that's fine, if you'd like some eggs, you can purchase them like everybody else. And many people criticized them, saying that they were greedy over eggs. But you know what happened? When Spurgeon died and his wife, the full story came out. And for decades, every dime that came in from the sale of those eggs went to take care of two widow women across town. While they were criticized because no one saw what they were doing, there's a God in heaven who saw every bit of that. What happens if you give and somebody's not grateful? They don't praise you the way that you think. It'll prove whether or not your motives are truly for you or if they're truly for the Lord. And so Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand doeth, because thy Father which seeth in secret, he will reward thee openly. So part B of this is the public side of that. The Bible says that when God sees, God knows. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, this is exciting stuff. God's a scorekeeper. He's the one that keeps the record. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, the Lord is faithful to reward His own. Rest assured, God knows about your righteous acts and God knows about your service. Now, I want to show you a word that is found here in verse number 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, what's the next word? Himself. Do you realize you could take that word out and it would still read the same? Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Doesn't change the meaning at all. But what it does do is it adds an emphasis that God Himself sees. You know what I found? That because we are flesh, we value gifts from people in high places. Man, the President of the United States sent me a letter. I got a gift card from the boss. Woohoo! Boy, ain't I something. I got a birthday card in the mail from the preacher. We value those kinds of... Ladies and gentlemen, there's no greater value than God Himself. There's no greater reward than for He Himself. And by the way, God's not cheap. And neither are His gifts and His rewards cheap. And I'm rewarded with a value from heaven. I may not be able to see it all. I may not be able to touch it all. In fact, I'm not even promised that I'll have it all in this life. But I'm promised that He sees and He will reward me. Now, in the couple of minutes that remain, let me show you three ways that God rewards us. They're not on the screen, but just quickly, I think there's three ways where we see that reward. Number one, there's the reward of satisfaction. Did you know that simply doing right brings satisfaction? Doing right could cost you something. It could cost you a position. It could cost you money. It could cost you popularity. But there's the inward satisfaction of doing the will of God. No money can buy that. No amount of charity can buy that. It's a satisfaction of knowing God used you of all people to help somebody. Thank God for that. There's the reward of satisfaction. Number two, there's the reward of greater service. When God sees your giving spirit, there's an opportunity for you to do more. There's an opportunity for you to have greater responsibility. A task well done. Watch this. A task well done spiritually doesn't mean that you get to ride in the comfort zone. Now, this is an irony that I think we need to wrap our mind around. It's quite the contrary. What that means is you've proved to God that He can trust you with more. You've proved to God that there's greater responsibility. And by the way, we see that all around us. A teacher that gets a really bright student doesn't exempt that student from the work. Doesn't say to that student, well, you're so smart, you don't have to do homework. No, you know what a good teacher does? Makes them work harder. Gives them more work. By the way, there's a reason why you pay for your education, why we have a Christian school. It's to cause your kid to work. If you thought enrolling your kid in a Christian school was so that they could just ease on through, that's not what it's about. We see that all. A musician who is gifted. Well, that musician doesn't have a piano teacher that says, well, you're so good, you don't need to practice. No, they get harder pieces of music and they give it to them and they make them practice harder. Ladies and gentlemen, a Christian's reward is the reverse of the world's reward. The world says, well, you've done well. Why don't you just take it easy? But God says, I want to give you more and I want to entrust you with more that you'll do more for fellow men. I can count on you for more responsibility, and God gives us greater reward the more faithful we are. Number three, there's the reward of walking with God. If man has sought all of his life to be obedient and submissive, then all through his life he's been growing closer and closer to the Lord. Until the end of that, he possesses in the presence of the Lord, well done. Well done. The rewards of men are nothing when compared to the rewards of God. But if you're honest tonight, sometimes it's hard not to lose sight of that. We talk about appreciation and rewards and gift giving. If you're in this room tonight and your feelings are hurt because nobody praised you for teaching Sunday school or running a bus route or being faithful on the job, God does. God sees all of it. And I'm to live my life to glorify God. Watch this. And God pays in full. I don't have to worry about whether man recognizes it or not, because God does. Father, thank you for your word and the truths that are here. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be able to recognize in our own life those areas of our heart that cause us to struggle. And Lord, from every aspect of the spectrum, from the giving for man to see to the heart of satisfaction based on outward reward, may we rest that in you. Heads are back.